God, I thank you, Lord, that you are amazing, God. And we can just come before you and celebrate who you are, Lord. God, thank you that you are powerful, that you are almighty, God, that you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, that there's nothing in this world, in this universe that you cannot do because you've made it all, God. That we can know that when we come into your presence, you know everything already, God. That we just can come before you and know that when we surrender to you, we surrender to the one who's all-powerful, almighty. Who's everywhere present. That we can know that you are a God of love. That you're a holy God, but you also are Father. And you're seeking relationship with us, Lord. And this morning, I just bring my heart before you, Lord God, and I just pray that you will order my mind, God, that the words that I speak will be your words, Lord. And Father, we pray, God, that your kingdom will come here on earth, Lord, as it is in heaven. God, I pray that your will be done in our lives, Lord God, that we can see the fullness of what you have called us for, Lord, because we have surrendered to your purposes in the name of Jesus. Amen. God is really busy with me with just the whole thing about emotional healing. And last week I discussed how I came to this on this road. And I don't want to go too much into that. But I was reading a book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And this man said in his book that he came to a place where he his wife resigned from his church because he was just not living what he was preaching. And he said it was very tough for him, and I could so identify with this guy. You know, on the one side, you know what is right and what God wants from us, but it's inside your emotions is doing something different. And you react in all the wrong ways, and you're not doing what God has called you to do. You're doing different things. You're walking in a bad way. And just over time, I've realized, and this man says it as well, that if we are not emotionally whole, we cannot grow spiritually. And many people come to a place, what he calls a wall. And if you cannot go through this wall, it's almost you walk against this wall and you stand back. But if we want to grow, we must be able to go through this wall. And this wall can be 2 weeks, but it's probably 2 years. It can be 40 years. It can be a very long time for us to go through if we are not surrendered to the purposes of God. And he said, Beth Moore in the DVDs that I watch of her, she talks about fire, that when there's fire, we better go through the fire, because if we stand there, we're going to continue being burned. So there's a place that we have to go through. And this Peter Scazzeri talks about Job. He didn't sin to go through the wall. It happened because Satan asked for him. But in that place, he was down and out. But afterwards, God really blessed him. Paul was in 14 years in a desert. David was persecuted by King Saul for many years, that he had to flee him, not because of things that he had done bad, but just because of tough times, that God is really preparing us that we can go through this war. And he says, in that time, you're very introspective. You look at yourself quite a lot. But after that, it's like your heart is outward focused for that place to come and walk into the place that God has called us for. And what I've discovered and what I just said last week is that our God is a mighty, amazing, powerful God. This is the God that created the heavens and the earth. He said, let there be light, and the stars came to be. And I just explained how many stars there are only in our galaxy, that we cannot count them. If it takes us 1 second to count each one, it will take us 2,000 years to count all the stars. Yet there are many galaxies like that we cannot count. And the universe is apparently expanding all the time. But God created that. God upholds it in the palm of his hand. God measures it with his finger. God is mighty. God is outside of time, that he sees time as a parade. This is the beginning and that's the end. And he all sees it at once. God is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. And I said, does it occur to you that nothing occurs to God? Because he knows it already. So, and I was just saying as well that God knows Microsoft. He knows where the bugs are. He knows the bugs that we haven't even created yet. He knows how to fix those things. That we come to God because He's a mighty, powerful God. But this God wants to have relationship with us. He wants to know us. He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to partner with us in every way. And I ask the people that you love the most, who are that person? So if you're young and you just met a girl at that time, that girl, that one that you thought will never like you, you don't care what other girls think of you. You don't care that you're not invited to a party. You don't care about anything that anyone does to you because you've met this one person. You're so in love with this person. And what I just realized, if we love God because He says, love me, I'm the Lord your God, I am Lord, love me with all your heart, love me with your soul, with your mind, with your strength. It's an emotional loving. It's a loving with my mind. It's a loving with who I am. It's a loving of my choices. It's a loving in the things that I do. If I love God like that, I will not get depressed. I will not be upset because no one is phoning me anymore. I will not be empty. I will not be able to seek stuff in other places because I have relationship with God. And what I just discovered and just the word that Tian just gave, but Peter, even Peter didn't love God that way. He loved Him like a brother, yet He restored him. He restored him to a place that Peter could do really amazing things for the Lord. And then I finished off by saying that if we in the light, if we walk in the light, there's no darkness, but we'll know that we're in the light if we have fellowship with one another. So if I love God, I will love people. But I don't love people and then come to God. I love people because of my love for God. Because of my love for God, because of that interaction, I want to have fellowship with people around me, with the people of God around me. So my faith doesn't come because of the things that I do, the rules, but it comes because I am connected with God. And His heart is getting imparted in me, and I start acting in a different way. But then, you know, this is not for people who are not part of our church, but I just said, you know, if we cannot come to church, knit one, skip two, knit one, skip two. Ons kan nie braai en kerk doen nie. And I see it with children's church as well. You know, if we are serious about the things of God, we want to be with the people of God. There's something that you want to come to cell group, you want to be part of church, you want to grow because these are the people of God. You are excited because of that. And I said that one verse in Hebrew 10 says, but we need endurance to do the will of God, to receive His reward. The reward, if we do the will of God, we will receive a reward, but we need endurance to do that. And you can go and listen to last week's sermon if you want to just see why I said that. But the endurance comes from God. It's not I have to endure. When I start taking strain, it's because there's something missing. I'm not spending time. The flow is not there because God is the source. And when we cut ourselves off from the source, we start taking strain. And I said that as well, that this is the devil's agenda. He wants to separate us. He wants to bring us to a side. So as where the lines come and there's a pride of kudu or whatever running or buffles or blowville beast or whatever it is, they will go for the weakest one, the one that is separated. And what it will do, what the lions will do, is they will come and try and separate the weakest one to take out that animal. And this happens in church as well, I believe. God, the devil wants to come and separate us. So when we separate it, he can take us out. Because then we start lying and listening to all the things that the devil is telling us. All the lies that he's telling us. And what I also showed last week, that the fellowship of believers causes us to deal and to cleanse us from sin. God uses people in our lives to help us to overcome the struggle against sin. It's not in my own strength. I cannot do it. And I said to one guy afterwards, you cannot stop sinning. It's impossible. Don't even try. Get to know God. In the presence of God, you don't have a desire to want to sin anymore. So I said to him, you know, if a guy's got a heroin needle in his arm, I'm not going to say to him, stop doing heroin. I'm going to say to him, you must meet Jesus. If he's drunk, and I said to him, you know, in the beginning when I got saved, I was reading the Bible and I had a beer in the one hand, but I was reading the Word. And as I got to know God more and more, my desire to have a beer in my hand became less and less and less, because I started getting the heart of God, not because I'm trying to stop sin. So I'm running a little bit ahead of myself. So we need endurance. So I've been looking at the women of Samaria, and Lynette said to me, they are also doing, they did it last week in the women's group. But I really believe this is what God was saying to me that I had to preach on. This lady lives in Samaria. Samaria is on the wrong side of the railway track. You don't go there. But she's coming to draw water at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And we discover later on that she was embarrassed to go when other people were there because of the lifestyle that she's lived. Things in her life has gone wrong. She felt not good about herself anymore. So she wanted to avoid other women, because if she goes when they are there, they would speak against and just make her more feel more vulnerable. They will reject her more. They will make her feel that she's not good enough. And she just didn't want that anymore. So she went to go and fetch water at 12 o'clock. And Jesus was sitting there waiting for his disciples to come back, who went to go and fetch food. So he says to her, can you give me a drink of water? And she responds, why do you, a Jew, want to speak to me? And Jesus says to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So she says, why do you want to speak to me? Now Jesus responds by the gift of God. And the gift of God is a free gift. It's everlasting life. It's salvation. It's what God came to do. It's what Jesus came to do on earth. He paid the price for our sins that we can have everlasting life. And he says, this is the gift that I'm giving to you, everlasting life. And I am the one who brings that gift. So it's the gift and the giver. And this is the one who says to you, I was asking you for water. And if you had known, you would have asked him for water, because we know Jesus is the one, the way, the truth, and the life. But then she brings excuses. He's saying, you know what? You know, she's bringing excuses, but you have nothing to draw water with. How can you give me water? And she's starting to talk about the pit and all these things. And she's resisting him. She's resisting what he wants to give to her. And what I realized is many times we come to a place where we are confronted by God, but we resist it. And we resist God because of things that has happened in our lives. And many of that things is emotional brokenness. We are broken. Our hearts have been broken. So when God picks up, we do this because we don't want to go there. This is too deep. This is going to hurt. And I don't want to go there again. So what she's doing, she's resisting that what God wants to come and do to her. And the reasons why we can resist is unbelief. We just don't believe that Jesus is really true. He's the one that can do it for me. He's the King of Kings. We don't believe it. Or there's doubt. We believe that God is God and that he loves all people, but he doesn't like me. Or that he doesn't heal. He won't heal me. He might heal other people, but for me, it won't happen. So I cannot believe in the promises of God because so many things has gone wrong in my life. And why did God allow these things in my life? So there's doubt in my heart. So we want to resist that, what God wants to do in us. Or it can be pride that I'm fine. I can do it myself. I will sort out my own problems. Don't come to me. Or, you know, pride is just that place that I feel I'm better than other people. I don't need anyone in my life. You're not going to be able to help me. And, you know, you can be struggling with pride and be in the streets. I was praying in Umzamo for a guy, and the Lord showed me this guy's thing was money. But because of pride, he ended up in Umzamo digging the dustbins. Because of pride in his life. He just he wouldn't find help. He wouldn't say, guys, I need help here. Can anyone help me? Then it can be idolatry. You know, we idolatry is things that we fill ourselves with. It can be Buddha. We can be worshiping Buddha or New Age or whatever religion there is, but it can be things that we keep ourselves busy with. It can be our work. It can be cycling. It can be a lot of things that we do that we want a full fulfillment in, and we know if Jesus confronts us, we will have to stop that thing, and we like that thing too much. We don't want to stop that thing. I want to continue with that. So I'm resisting him because not that. I'll do anything, but I don't want to give away those little idols. Or we can have grown up in rules, regulation, religion. So when we come to God, the first thing that comes to mind is religion, rules. And we resist God because we have been used to or conditioned to enter or to relate to God as someone that brings rules. And if you're not doing the right thing, I'm going to punish you. So whenever God is there, we resist because we don't want to do that whole rule thing. So we really just rather not go to church because I just don't want to do rules. So Jesus says to her, lady, this water that I give is everlasting water. You need this water. And she realizes she needs the water. And she says, can you give me this water? And now the story starts. Now he says to her, he digs at her emotional hurt. He says to her in verse 16, John 4, verse 16, go and fetch your husband. And she says, I have no husband. And she said, yes, you're right. Because you have five husbands, and the man that you are with, you're not married to. And then she says, yes, that's the truth. And this is the place that most of us needs to come to, that place where our sin, or our weakness, and the things of our past get surfaced, and we agree, yes, that's true. If we can get to that place, 80% of our healing is done. Yes, I'm a failure. I struggled. I'm not good enough. Our marriage is falling apart. My kids is in drugs. Whatever it is, if we can come to that place and say, yes, that is it. I don't know how to fix it. 80% of the answer is already done in that place. And this lady, I can think, especially in that time, for her to belong to someone was part of our identity. And if a lady didn't have a husband, she would not really mean that much in that time. So each time she would go for the wrong guy and he would leave her, and then she would go for the next guy and he would leave her. And after five times of marriage, her heart was just so hardened that she just took any guy because she just needed someone. She needed some affection. She needed someone to touch her, to be there, to be in her life. But she wouldn't marry again because this doesn't work. So I can just imagine the shame that was upon her because she knew what she has done wasn't right. She felt betrayed by various men that made her all these promises that you're the most beautiful girl and I'm going to do this, but they all walked away. Just that place of guilt, because maybe there was sex before marriage and she knew she just couldn't help herself, but it all came from emotional hurt. Because our hearts have been broken, we struggle sometimes to do the right thing because when it comes to that point, it's easier to open that beer and just have that beer and feel better. Or to go for that goal that you know is going to destroy your life, but you just go there because afterwards, you know, you feel, I shouldn't have done that. But at that moment, you just couldn't help yourself. But it's that place where our hearts have been broken and we're trying to fill ourselves with something that God wants to be there. But because we are broken, we cannot connect with God because our hearts are broken. I told you last week how Daniel was doing landloop and he's running. And the first time he went around the school, the route, they go from there all the way around the school and they come back. And it's great once, you know, and he's doing it like giving everything. He's like, he can't breathe because his heart was burning. You cannot run if your heart is burning. That's why you have to pace yourself. And I said to him, Sien, you make yourself pace. And now he's getting it right, but there's a place that we run 100%. But if you run so hard, your heart burns. You cannot do that what God wants us to do. So this lady, this lady is in that place. And, you know, we are the circumstances of our environment. We are the circumstances of our parents and our grandparents. We are the product of who they were. And that gets imparted to us. And it can be great. It can be fantastic. But it also can be very negative. And most of the case, it's both. It's very positive and very negative, and it all comes together. But what God wants to do is he wants to heal all that pain that we can walk in the fullness of what he has called us for. And, you know, what I found is that when you have an absent parent, that child grow up looking for love with people in an ungodly way. When there's an absent father, and the father can be in the house or there can be no father, they will struggle in their sexuality because they are looking for something that their father was meant to give to them as they were growing up. We can be influenced by our circumstances, the friends. Kom, ons gaan drinken, daai hoekie, daarso. And you go with because you need acceptance. And I think this is why it's so important for us to train our children in the way of God, that we are not seeking to fulfill ourselves with there's things of the world, but we fill ourselves with God. Because in that place, we can walk whole, and we can be the example that God has called us to be. Because what happens is Satan will lie to us, because he wants to wound us. If he can wound you, he can place bondage in your heart. And bondage can many times be like an addiction, or the way that I'm thinking, that we're insecure, whatever it might be. But if there's bondage, we will isolate ourselves. We will isolate ourselves from people around us because we've been hurt. And I shared last time as well that when let's say Martin hurts me, I'm like, how come I say that gedoen? And now Nadia, and now she's hurt me as well. And then Sonia, now I'm not going to get hurt again. So I'm very friendly, but I'm not kind. And what I said about kindness, and for ons Afrikaanse mense, daar's nie 'n Afrikaanse vertaling vir kindness nie. Hulle vertaal dit as friendliness. En ons boeremense is baie vriendelik. We are very friendly. Hallo julle. But kindness, there's an act that we want to engage. And when we pray for people, we do it like this because we're afraid the demons might get onto us. So what God says, oh, just pray. Jesus, I love you. There's impartation because of the love of God. So there's something that when we've been hurt, we tend to withdraw. And that's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to withdraw that we cannot walk into the fullness of God. So examples of bondage can be fear. That we fear, we have pride. There's insecurity in our hearts. We feel inferior to other people. Depression. We inflict wounds to ourselves. Addictions. Unholy living, sexual promiscuity. And the thing about sexual promiscuity is every time we have sex outside of marriage, we get bonded together. We become one with that person. And our soul and that person's soul become one. And it's one person. Then when you break up, your soul gets torn in two. So the next time you have sex with someone else, that half of your soul connects with another person's soul. And it gets torn up, and it's like a quarter left. So by the time you've had sex, 20 different people that you had sex with, your heart is hardened because of all the pain that has been inflicted. Because you became one with that person when you had sex. But when that person is your wife and it's the first time, you'll never want to leave her. So this is why Satan wants us to have sex outside of marriage, because he knows it's one of the sure ways to destroy us, to destroy our hearts. Then he can start with his lies and tell us the lies that you're not good enough, that you're a mistake, that you are stupid, you are worthless. And these mistakes, he's telling you the whole time, and you start believing these things where God is saying, you are my son, you are my daughter, I'm well pleased with you, I love you. And that is why God wants us to come to him, to know him. So this lady from Samaria, she says it's true. And then she says to Jesus, but Jesus, sir, where must we worship? Now she goes all religion on him. And we do that when we come into a point when we're in a need, we understand my heart is getting stirred. Now we want to talk about religion. Where must we worship? Because we worshiped on this mountain. And you say we must worship in Jerusalem. my people come from here and your people come from there. And we will say, no, but which church is the right church? Should I go to that church or should I do this or speak in tongues or be baptized? Or is that from the devil? And now we want to work out all these things in our mind. And then Jesus says to her, the time has come. The hour is coming and it's now here when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So, He's not talking about rules. He's talking about relationship, about worship. Our healing, our knowing God, our restoration is in worship of God. And it's both. It's both. It's truth and it is spirit. And I just want to look at both of them, because when it says, when they ask Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? You should love with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. How do we do that? How do we do that? Because it's impossible. It's impossible to love people unconditionally. It's very difficult for me. Maybe one of you, you've got it right. I think Nadia's close to that. I'm not there yet. But it is because of my relationship, my worship with God. It changes who I am. So He's talking about spirit and in truth, and that He desires us to worship this mighty, powerful God in spirit and in truth. So I just want to look at the two, to worship God in spirit. Because, you know, we come to God with rules. What must I do? And this is the thing with healing as well. People want to know, just give me 5 things of what I must do. If you can give me 5 rules, then I can do those things and I will be healed. How do I raise my children in a godly way? Just give me 3 things, because I just want to do those 3 things. When is it fine to hit them, and when can I let them go? We want rules. And rules without relationship leads to rebellion. If we're going to give you rules, you are going to become rebellious. God is seeking relationship. He's seeking partnership. He's seeking us to know Him. So, I saw it in my own relationship with my wife as well. We talking about marriage, and I've got to preach on marriage. And I said to Kurt, brother, I'm not ready to preach on relationships, especially not marriage. And he said, you've got to do it because we have a need here. So I went, I got a word, Ephesians 5, and I went through Ephesians 5, and the man must submit to the wife. You didn't get it. The wife must submit to the man, and the man must love his wife, and you must do these things, and I must love my wife, and she must honor me, and I miss it all. And we fight. But ek het die skool goed gedoen, en sy sê, maar jy het nie die was goed gedoen nie, maar ek het dit gedoen. And we fight about the things that we have to do in our home. So we're coming with rules to one another. And now we're fighting. Because you this and that, and jy met die kinders gaan aflaai, maar ek lei werk vol dag, en jy half dag, and we're just fighting. But then I discovered that verse that says, you and your husband, you will leave the husband will leave the father and mother, and he will become one with his wife. So I realized, I must do what's good for us, and she must do what's good for us. So now we have relationship. And out of relationship, we want to do things for one another. It flows because I want to please her. And she comes in with, this morning I'm preparing, and she's coming and bring me fresh juice. And I'm, Liffy, donkey. But previously, we do that. But it's relationship. God seeks the same. He doesn't want rules. He wants relationship with us. God wants relationship. So the first thing that I believe, to know God, to have to know God, we must know the Word. Jesus is the Word. If I want to know Jesus, I must read the Word. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things that was made through Him, and none that was made without Him. If I want to know Jesus, get to know the Word, because Jesus is the Word. Psalm 107 verse 20 says, God sent out His word. He sent out Jesus. He sent His words and it healed them. Our healing is in the truth, is in what God has given to us. And He delivered us from destruction, from knowing the word of God. John 8, verse 31 to 36, Jesus said to the Jews that believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple." So if we spend time abiding, talks about reading, doing, meditating, growing, thinking, talking, learning, being taught, teaching the word, abiding in the word, we are his disciples. If there's a hunger in us for the word of God, we are his disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's a truth that God's truth, what's given to us in the word, that sets us free from all the bad things that has happened in our lives. So God is wanting us to know him, that we must know his work. And what I saw with Beth Moore, because I was watching these DVDs for you who weren't here, but Beth Moore's going, "Girlfriend." And I'm sitting there, I haven't shaven for 2-3 days, my beard is like this, and I'm crying, and she's speaking to the girlfriends. And all I wanted to know is, give me like 3 or 4 keys, Beth, that I can help people to get healing. But now I'm crying because what she's doing, she's just opening the wounds and she's giving the girls homework to do. They read from Chronicles and Leviticus and they get excited about the kings and what this king did and that king did. They do it for 5-6 hours a week that they spend time in homework. Just for Beth Moore. So my wife is getting all these revelations, and I see Sumin lacht daar lekker in die achterkant, but they're doing homework, so God is, they're getting to know God. And because of that, they're getting excited, and they're speaking about things, they've been praying about things, and it's getting into the open, and God is dealing with them. And we must understand that God reveals himself in stages. In the Old Testament, he reveals bits of himself, and as it grows into the New Testament, he reveals more of himself to us. We cannot expect to get to know God in one day, one sermon. It takes forever to get to know God. We can know God truly, but we will never know him fully. We can truly know that God is good, and I can trust in him because he's good and he loves me. That you can know. But to know every aspect of God, that will come over time. And as we get to know more and more of him, God will do more of him in our lives to help us to break free from all these things. So God is seeking relationship. He's seeking partnership with us. And it's that we spend time with him. If we don't do that, we will try to fill ourselves with other things. And those things are idolatry. All the things that we're trying to fill ourselves with, which is not God, which is not the word of God, is idolatry. So if 1 minute a day is not going to help, because there's a lot of other things that we are going to do that will spend our time, we will spend our time with. Verse 33 of John 8 says, this guy answers him, "But Jesus, we are the offspring of Abram. We've never been enslaved to anyone, only to the Egyptians for 400 years and to the Babylonians for about 70 years and the Medes and the Persians, they've been enslaved to everybody their whole lives." But this guy says they've never been enslaved. And Jesus says to them, "Everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." Emotional healing causes us to sin. And God wants us to be free because the result of sin is death. It will destroy us. So he wants us to be free of sin. So if there's sin in our lives, it means that we are in bondage. And many times, it's because of emotional hurt in our hearts. We cannot overcome that brokenness, so we tend to sin. We do things that we are, and then you feel so bad afterwards. But why did I do this? Why can I not stop this one thing? If I can just stop this one thing, I will really be able to focus on God. Why does it happen? But then he says, if the Son has set you free, you will be free indeed. If Jesus has set us free, we will be free. Yes, we will sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If anyone says he hasn't sinned, but the desire for sin becomes less and less. It doesn't get the norm anymore. We're not in bondage to that because we've been made free by Christ. So if you are walking with God and there's sin, don't yes, we all sin. We live in a fallen world. But the amount of times that you sin, you either just sin all the time, or there's like now and again you fall, you repent, God, forgive me, and you stand up again. It's not your life is being ruled. You're not a slave to this sin anymore. So I just want to say this. Satan really wants to tempt us in three ways. He wants to say to us that we are what we possess. If I have a nice car or a nice house, I mean something in this world. Or he wants to tell us that we are something what we do. I'm a doctor, or I'm a triathlete, or I'm a Eisterman, or I'm a cyclist, or there's many things that I want to do. So I'm identified by what I'm doing, my performance, and I'm striving to become more and more, and it gives me power, gives me significance, it gives me control. Or I am what people say that I am. Or I'm very well liked by people, so my identity is formed in that. So if we fail in any of those areas, I feel very bad. And we don't come to a place where we understand that God loves us. He says, I'm well pleased with you. You are my son. I'm well pleased with you. Because the Bible transformed the way we think. He transformed our mind to that place where we can really know God and understand what God's love is for us. So we must worship him in truth, and we must worship him in spirit. And it's both. It's not the one or the other. If it's only the word, the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Knowledge puffs up. So if you have all this knowledge, you'll become proud. If it's just the spirit, you'll become flaky. Oh, we get so drunk in the spirit. That was so awesome. Oh, sure. And Christians, charismatic Christians go into that. They go like, oh. And I asked a guy this week, I said to him, how do you know that spirit that ministers to you is not demonic? And he's like, no, it's God. I said, how do you know that spirit is not demonic? And he couldn't answer me. And he couldn't answer me because he's not reading his word. Because it will always manifest the word of God. So if we go and be filled with the spirit, you can open yourself up to demonic spirit. I just want to speak to charismatic Christians that goes into things. Bill Johnson spoke out at his church against Jason Westerfield. And many people went to his conference last year, and he said, please, this guy is a son. I love this guy. His gifts are from God. But he lost the track. He's hardened his heart. 8 different people tried to minister to him. His heart got hardened. People are getting deceived. And Bill Johnson said, I listened to it because of the guy Furious Love wrote about it in the Charismatic magazine. And he just said, he's never seen one person inflict so many demons on other people. And this guy is so powerfully used by God, but his heart got hardened because he was emotionally broken and he could not come to a place of forgiving. So God is giving him this amazing gifts, but he got deceived because it's the truth that set us free. It's not the spirit. It's both. It's both that goes together. And many people are leaving church because of Jason Westerfield, because of something that has happened in his heart where he has not received the fullness of what God has called us for. So to worship in spirit is not to worship by rules of regulations, but it talks about prayer, about singing, about praise, about closing our eyes, focusing on God. It talks about fasting for the Lord. It talks about spiritual disciplines, that we pray a lot. As we read the word, we pray a lot, that it is both. It's equally that it is both, that we dance before God, that we sing songs and we speak in tongues, and we trust God, and we know the Spirit brings the gifts of God, which is the power of God, but it also brings the fruit of God, which is the character of God. We get transformed by to be like Jesus because we love like Jesus. We walk in faith like him. We have peace. We have joy. We have faithfulness. We have all these characteristics what God has because the Spirit of God is upon us. So it is both the Spirit and the truth, the Word of God. The Samaritan woman, she this, so he says to him, but you know, I know the Messiah is coming. And Jesus says, it's me, I'm the Messiah. She leaves everything, she runs. She goes and tell her whole town, I've met the Messiah. They all believe that this is the Messiah. They come and they meet Jesus. And then they say, they meet Jesus. And then afterwards they say to her, you know, we've heard, it's no longer because you've said that we believe. For we have heard ourselves and we know this indeed is the Savior of the world. They know because they've met Jesus. They had an encounter with Jesus. The disciples come back. They say, aren't you hungry anymore? He says, no. To do the Father's will is what keeps me going. And what is the Father's will? He says to him, four months and the harvest will be ready. And I say to you, the harvest is ready now. The harvest is white. So if we do the will of God, we will have a heart for the harvest. For people who are not saved. You do not know the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, because we are whole. There's something that God has come to do with us. So I just want to finish with 1 John 5, verse 1 to 5. If the guys just want to come forward, that we can just sing a song as unto the Lord. But God says, Jesus says to us in 1 John 5, verse 1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. So if we believe, we are born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. So because we've been born again, we love everybody that's been born of Him. We have a heart for everybody because we've been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God. This is how we know. When we love God and we obey His commandments. If we love God, we obey His commandments. That's how we will know that we love God. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. So, if He says, do not neglect the fellowship of believers, the love of God is that we don't neglect the fellowship of believers. If He says, forgive, that we forgive. If He says, pray always, that we pray always, because that is the commandments that God has given us. And then He says, and this commandments are not burdensome. If He says, do not swear, or do not steal, do not kill, do not do sexual immorality, all those things, it's not tough. It's easy. It's not burdensome, because we love God. Because of our love for God, we do His commandments, but the outflow is we want to do it, because God's love. We connect with Him, the King of Kings, the amazing God, who God is. It changes. It changes lives. So we believe in Him. We love Him. We have fellowship with Him. We know we belong to God because God's love. We love God and because we obey His commandments. We are doers of the Word. And that causes us to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength. That we love God emotionally. That it's not we respect Him, but we love Him because we know Him and we grow Him and He speaks to us in this relationship. Then verse 4 says, everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. If we've been born of God, we'll overcome this world. All the pain, all the rejection, all the betrayal, all the guilt, all the sin, we will overcome. All the stuff that is holding us down in bondage, we will overcome because we are born of God. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith is the victory that has overcome the world. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We will not overcome this world in any way except the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only through Him. It's only through Him. There's no other way. It's only Jesus that we will overcome this. So we must believe and know and trust that God is good in every way. In every way, God is good. We can surrender to who He is because He's good. And he says, I will make all things work out for the best because you believe in Me. Even our sin, He will cause for the best because we believe in Him. It's a process. We are, our faith is a place of trusting God, but we know we are saved by faith. We are justified by faith. We are being made righteous by faith. Not the things that we do for God, but by faith. Yes, faith has actions. Faith without actions is dead. But faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. As we get to read the word, spend time together, share testimonies, our faith gets bold. So we get to know more about God. And we know that those promises is for me too. And that truth starts changing who I am. And it starts changing who God wants me to be. And it brings us to a place where God can really make us whole. That we can have an influence in this world. So I just want to encourage all of us. If there's one thing that you walk away with, is we can trust God because He's good. God has no evil in Him. He doesn't get upset in a way that He's like, oh, I've bad enough now. Yes, He gets emotional. God gets emotional. He gets upset. But He will never walk away. He's a perfect Father in every way. We can trust in God. And in that trusting is a place where we say, God, I surrender. I surrender and I bring You my pain too. Because I want You to heal me, that I can be whole, that I can worship You in the fullness of what You have called me to be. Let us just pray. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you come, O Lord. That You intervene, O Lord. God, we just want to wait on You, Lord. I don't want anyone to feel exposed in any way. But if you've come to that place where that Samaritan woman was, where she realized she needed that water that brings life, with the promise that that water will bring everlasting life from within. It will only bring life You to be healed, to be whole, but it will also bring everlasting life, that within You, without You, the love and the power of God can flow to wash and cleanse people who've been hurt by life. And if you're in that place where you have come to a point where you know that's the truth, I'm needing Jesus. I'm needing the Lord Jesus Christ, and You are just so ready to just respond. I want to give an invitation that You come, that we pray with You, that we can pray that You will know God, and that You'll be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth, in the fullness of who God is, to really know that the love of Jesus, to know the power to set us free from the power of sin and the influence of sin, the presence of sin in our lives, from hurt, from shame and guilt and bitterness and unforgiveness, all those things that is haunting us, that's hurting us, all those things that is imparting into our children, that we're seeing in our children manifesting, and we know it's coming from us, but we just don't want to deal with it. If you're in a place where you say, yes, I need to humble myself today, and I just need to come forward. I just need to be held. I need Jesus. Need an encounter with the Lord. Just want to give you the opportunity. Maybe you don't have relationship with the Lord. Maybe you do have a relationship with the Lord, but the invitation still stands. Those men and women believed because they've met Jesus. When we meet Him, He changes. Because the Son sets us free. The Son set us free. Jesus sets us free. And His arms are wide open. Say, come to me. Come to me. In Jesus' name. I'm just going to ask that we stand and sing a last song. If you have children in children's church, I'm going to excuse you. But for the rest, if you just want to stand with us, that we sing a song. And I just want to do an invitation in the song, if you want to come forward, that we can pray with you. And then I'm just going to pray at the end for us.